pitching rally at the Victory Park in Aflahu, former President Ronis wondered why members of the NEC government have shied away from observing the day. He said his greatest wish is for the NEC to win the December election, but according to him, that can only be achieved if the current government holds members of both the previous and the current administration accountable for their action. On the raging debate over the NDC's logo, Peter Ronin stated that it was the former first lady who suggested the Akatamanso. He suggested a fish, but others suggested a sheep. The former first lady, Nana Konedu Ajiman Ronin, denied suggestions that she used their power and influence to acquire the Nsawam cannery. He said the cannery was put on Diversica and advertised for 6 years before the 31st December Women Movement pleaded for it. Mrs. Ajiman Ronin also denied that it was $5 million in judgment debt in respect of the cannery. Other speakers raised issues over the absence of government officials and party personnel from the event, as well as the merger or the reunification of the NDC and the DSP, despite the initial fears and agitation from some chiefs and elders of Aflahu. The event went on peacefully. Police and national security personnel were also around in their numbers to ensure safety.
Ubu Klinogo reporting. Meanwhile, the Upper West Regional Propaganda Secretary of the NDC, Yahya Yakubu, has hinted that 300 of the over 500 projects so far awarded on contract in the region have been completed, while others are at various stages of completion since the assumption of office of the Atamil's regime in 2009. Mr. Yakubu was speaking at a symposium in Wa to mark the 33rd anniversary of the June 4 uprising. The event was characterized by presentations on topics such as the development of Ghana since the advent of June 4 and achievements of the NDC government from 2009 to date. The regional propaganda secretary said the achievements of the NDC government within the past 3 years are so obvious for those who cannot even see to feel them. He stated in particular the GDP growth rate of 13.6%, the establishment of two new public universities, and the review of the 1992 constitution. Mr. Yakubu also mentioned the distribution of 66,000 computers to schools, the procurement of 127 fire tenders and other firefighting equipment, and an increase in connecting 1,700 communities to the national grid. A cadre and a former member of the June 4 movement, Mike Tagumo, who presented a paper on development of politics since the advent of June 4, said the idea of understanding the ideals of state and party is important for all citizens. He said people should know what the leaders stand for and what the people want for themselves. Mr. Tagumo called for a truce between former President Rawlings and President Atamels to bring peace, unity and harmony so as to enable the NDC to retain power in the December polls. Residents of Myong in the newly created district of the Northern Region have demonstrated against the siting of the district capital at Sang. They want the capital in Myong and not Sang. The residents claim government did not consult chiefs and opinion leaders of the area over the matter. Our Northern Regional Correspondent Mutala Issa has the rest of the story.
Myong District is one of six newly created districts in the Northern Region. The district is scheduled to be inaugurated on the 19th of June. However, the siting of the district capital is threatening to stall the inauguration process. This afternoon, the youth of the area, clad in red t-shirts and armbands, carrying placards, staged a demonstration to register their displeasure at the siting of the district capital in Sang. According to spokesperson of the group, Mumuni Zakaria Fuseni, traditionally, Sang is under Myong. They do not understand why government chose to side the capital in Sang. He stated further that in terms of population and physical infrastructure, Myong is more developed than such. He threatened that if government goes ahead to inaugurate the district, it will threaten the peace of the area. He called for proper consultation before further action is taken on the newly created district. The Myong district was formerly under the Yendi municipality.
Mutala Issa reporting. The police in Wa have arrested 13 persons suspected to have been involved in an assassination attempt on Na Fuse Nipelpu, a rival claimant to the Wa skin. The suspects, whose names were not given, have been placed in police custody. Seydou Yakubu, a 40-year-old man, died of bullet wounds at the Wa Regional Hospital following the assassination attempt. The Upper West Regional Police Commander Kofi Dansua Champong told the GNA that the gun was apparently fired by a sniper. According to him, the chief was the intended target, but the bullet missed him and hit the deceased, who was sitting on his right side at the forecourt of the Wanas Palace. He said two other persons who were critically injured during the incident are on admission. The incident is believed to have emanated from the decision of Napel Poo and his supporters to occupy the Wanas Palace. Calm has since returned to the town and the inhabitants are going about their activities peacefully. About 1,500 pastors of Assemblies of God churches across the country are meeting in Kumasi today to pray for national peace and unity. The main speaker at the National Prayer Conference is the General Superintendent of Sri Lanka Assemblies of God, Reverend Michael Disanayake. A statement issued by the General Superintendent of Assemblies of God Ghana, Reverend Dr. Paul Frimpomanso, asked all local pastors and leaders of the church to fast and pray alongside the National Prayer Conference as Ghana prepares to go to the polls in December. The statement said the National Prayer Conference will also seek divine direction for Assemblies of God Ghana to partner government to improve the living conditions of the people. The head of programs, ecumenical and social relations of the EP Church, Reverend Seth Agili, has been wondering whether themes chosen for anniversaries and other organized events achieve the intended purpose of enhancing sustainable transformation and development. He said the failure of people to pragmatically adopt and abide by themes due to limited education and ignorance has over the years affected the quest to cultivate a disciplined and reformed society. Reverend Agili was speaking at a Thanksgiving service in Accra to climax activities marking the third synod of the EP Church West Volta Presbytery. We bring you a news desk report.
The three-day synod was organized on the theme for the upcoming EP Church General Assembly, Strategic Evangelism for Sustainable Growth and Development. The event was used to honor some members of the church who have distinguished themselves in diverse ways to bring honor to the church and the nation at large. They included Reverend Professor Gilbert Ansari, Reverend Dr. Cyril Fayuse, Major General Carl Modi, COP John Kudalo, and Mr. Justice Jamson. Reverend Dr. Agidi underscored the need for extensive education on the significance of themes through advocacy and media campaigns. He also used the occasion to denounce activities of some self-acclaimed pastors who sway innocent people under the guise of using the name of Christ to perform miracles, but in reality practice occultism. Reverend Agidi urged Christian leaders to understand the fundamental significance of God's call to serve, noting that Christianity is not just a religion, but extreme love of God. In a communique presented by the Synod Clerk of the EP Church West Volta Presbytery, Reverend Moses Nyomi Nyamadi, the presbytery resolved to streamline all legal processes required for documentation of his lands and other properties.
A news desk report. More churches, organizations, and institutions continue to emphasize the need to maintain peace before, during, and after the December elections. The latest is the Reverend Nantoma Memorial Presbyterian Church in Kanda. Speaking at the Thanksgiving service to climax the 22nd anniversary of the Men's Fellowship of the Church in Accra, an elder of the church, Eric Jakuma, said Christians have a role to play in ensuring a peaceful election by exhibiting attitudes that will not bring about violence. Here is a report by Victoria Ahaji.
Mr. Jakuma said it is the responsibility of all Christians to educate Ghanaians on the effects of violence. He said the lifestyle of Christians must portray that of Jesus, who stands for peace.
Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and you are a child of God. You are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. So we have to exhibit that fruit of Jesus, which is peace. In view of the fact that we are holding elections this year, men must pray to ensure that the peace of God that Jesus represents in the world must manifest in the elections that we hold. Know who you serve and make sure that you always go with an attitude of peace. Don't be involved in any activity that will disrupt the peace.
Mr. Jakuma urged the youth not to allow themselves to be used to cause violence before, during, and after the elections. He also spoke about the need for Christians to set bases for giving offerings.
If you say come and give to the Lord's worker, it is something that you must willingly do. not only willingly, but with joy. Don't go and complain first before you bring your money. You are not giving just for giving sake, but you are giving as a sign of appreciation. You are giving as a sign of sacrifice. God is not interested so much in the sacrifices that we make. If Christ is not the basis of that sacrifice,
the president of the Men's Fellowship, Ebenezer Bim Kwang, said there is a need for all Christians to actively involve themselves in every activity that goes on in the church. He, however, explained the significance of the week celebration of the fellowship.
The significance of the celebration is to bring in more men into the fellowship. The Holy Spirit and the believer, that is the theme for the Presbyterian Church, is to get people to become aware of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, how the Holy Spirit is able to empower people to know Christ, and then also to spread the gospel. So we want more people to come and join the fellowship so they will know Christ more, and then they will grow from grace to grace.
Mr. Brinkwan called on all men to take part in the crusade for a peaceful election this year.
A report by Victoria Haji. In line with its corporate and social responsibility, AngloGold Ashanti Eduaprim Mines in the Takwansuayem municipality in the Western Region is this year spending close to $2 million on projects in its host communities. The Acting Managing Director, Samuel Noy, announced this at the commissioning of a community development project financed by the company for the Achimpim electoral area. He said it is the policy of the company to impact on its operational area. George Grant Yangson reports.
Mr. Noy said projects being funded by the company include sustainable agricultural development, local economic development, education, health, water and sanitation, information technology, road maintenance, and market infrastructure. He said AngloGold Ashanti Eduaprim is currently implementing a public waste management project in the Achimpim community, provided it with a modern sanitary facility and employment to some youths of the community. It has further supported communities such as Achimpim, Banchim, and Chalikrom in the Achimpim electoral area with development interventions in the fields of education, youth development, and electricity to the tune of over $40,000. Apart from this, Mr. Noy said the company last year invested more than $480,000 in development initiatives in other communities. On sustainable livelihood and agriculture, Mr. Noy said over 500 farmers were given agro inputs and technical training to undertake vegetable, maize, oil palm, and small ruminant production. Agro processing centers have also been established in three communities, namely Timber Road, Aliyeye, and Tebrebi, while four mobile graders were presented to four other communities, Wangayakrum, Domiabra, New Techiman, and Abom Peninsula, to help improve food processing activities. Mr. Noy said Ashanti Gold Eduaprim is determined to see its host communities better off than it came to meet them, and call for their support and cooperation in the implementation of community development projects. Leaders of the Achimpim electoral area commended the company for its support, but like the proverbial Ulibatrice, asked for more. From Achimpim in the Takwa Israim municipality, George Grant Youngson reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: former President Rawlings wishes the NDC retains power come December 7 as he marks 33rd anniversary of June 4 uprising at Apollo. Residents of Myon demonstrate against sighting of district capital. Over 1,000 pastors of the Assemblies of God Church converge on Kumasi to pray for national peace and unity. UK's Royal Naval Ship Destroyer arrives in Ghana tomorrow as Queen Elizabeth celebrates Diamond Jubilee. And Nigeria declares 3 days of national mourning following plane crash that killed over 150 people on board just a day after Ghana experienced a similar disaster. Ghana will host a Royal Navy destroyer known as HMS Dauntless from tomorrow to the 13th of this month as it makes a tour of the region. The Dauntless has spent about 8 weeks in West Africa visiting Sierra Leone, Senegal, and Cape Verde and helping to train maritime agencies in the region. A statement issued by the communications officer of the British High Commission, Patience Foley, said the arrival of the Royal Navy's most powerful warship at the Sakedi Naval Base tomorrow will coincide with Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee. The ship will make another stop at the Tema port on Friday, the 8th of this month. While docked in Tema, the Dauntless will host a number of events, including a seminar on maritime security and a defense industry trade show. HMS Dauntless is the second of the Type 45 class of air defense destroyers built for the Royal Navy and has been in active service for nearly 2 years. There are reports that the driver of the 207 Benz bus, which was crushed by the Allied air cargo plane, was attempting to overtake other vehicles in traffic. A hairdresser, Augustina Latte, who had then stopped and was overtaken by the Benz bus and the taxi cab, narrated what happened to Yaya Kwamwa.
I hear the noise, so I can't control this fear with this noise. So let me just pack. So when I'm packing, everything seized. So the people at the back was going on me. So the trotter just passed by me.
So the trotter was following you?
Yes. So when they passed by me, I just heard the plane hit the wall and the block was falling on my car. So I said, why this plane and the plane was flying? That's what I told my guest. And then it's the same thing. So I told my guest to get down, look at the headlight that is working so that no car will hit my car. So those are at my back door. 12 and then they passed by me, so I saw the thing. So I didn't know it was the trotter that the thing worked on it. When I got down, I can see that the trotter who passed by me, the thing worked on it.
At that time, were there many cars on the road?
They are following me, but because I dodged to stop, they were going on me because the back of my car is at the road. So the traffic blocked at my back. So there's a distance between the one that traveled ahead with me. Hey, all the ground was shaking.
Wow.
It was shaking, so I can't do anything. I can't, and the car also seized. When I spike, the cars are not spiked.
So, as of now, can you drive?
No. Yeah. I can't drive. Now, if I hear small noise, then I cannot drive. It was between 6 to 7. It was raining heavy.
Hairdresser Augustina Latte narrating what occurred before the accident. But the GPRTU has denied that the fault is from the 207 driver. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the Union, Alhaji Antie Tete, said what happened should be seen as purely accidental and not the recklessness of the driver. He spoke to Seth Aya.
There was this plane which ran into a vehicle on the street and not vice versa. The plane ran into the street, hit the vehicle in the street. So how can somebody say that the driver was doing unnecessary overtaking? What do they mean? Is the plane part of the road system? So this is an accident that has happened and everybody must be bold to say it as it is. You can't just say that the driver was doing unnecessary or making unnecessary overtaking. At where and at what point?
But has it come to your notice or have you heard?
Yes, I have heard that the driver is dead, the mate is dead, and other people have been mangled amidst the body. So it's very fatal thing. The driver, the head is cut off.
But he was doing wrong overtaking.
No, brother, that stretch of land, has there been any way where somebody can do overtaking? Always it is congested. How? He was making overtaking into the airport or where? The plane got outside the airport and hit a lorry in the street and somebody wants to put the blame on the driver. How?
Alhaji, we have eyewitnesses who happened to be also motorists on the same stretch of road who said that when they heard the noise, some of them stopped, but this driver in a hurry decided to overtake some of them and then the plane ran into it.
From the look of things, from the impact, anybody that can give accurate statements will be the driver. And any other person who only heard the crash and looked at the plane, and nobody can say that I was watching this car when it ran into the plane or the plane ran into it. No, it was after the crash that people would start thinking about what happened.
Alhaji, what comes into focus has to do with the impatience of drivers on the road.
The impatience of drivers are there. But that doesn't mean that when the driver has not committed a blunder because they are impatient, the blame should be put on them.
Greater Accra Regional Chairman of GPRTU, Alhaji Antie Tete, talking to Cecilia. Meanwhile, a passenger plane with about 150 people on board has crashed into buildings in a densely populated district of Nigeria's main city of Lagos. Nigeria's Civil Aviation Authority said there were no survivors on board the Dana airplane. The cause of the crash is not yet known. Thousands of onlookers gathered at the crash site as rescue services searched the rubble for survivors. President Goodluck Jonathan has declared 3 days of mourning. The plane crashed in the Iju neighborhood just north of the airport. It is not yet clear how many people may have died on the ground. Black smoke billowed at the crash scene, and TV pictures showed chaotic scenes as crowds swarmed the crash site, some helping pass along hoses to douse the smoking wreckage. The commercial aircraft was flying from Abuja to Lagos when it crashed and burst into flames. Several charred corpses could be seen in the rubble. An investigation is underway. Officials say the cockpit recorder has been found and given to the police. EU officials are expected to press Russian President Vladimir Putin to take a stronger line on Syria during a summit in St. Petersburg. EU nations want Russia to put pressure on its ally to withdraw heavy weapons from cities and comply fully with Envoy Kofi Annan's peace plan. Russia and China are also resisting US and EU calls to condemn President Bashar al-Assad and seek his removal. Yesterday, President Assad denied his forces had any role in the Houla massacre. He told Parliament that foreign meddling is to blame for Syria's divisions. European Council President Herman Van Rompuy, European Commission President José Manuel Barroso, and EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton are among those attending today's summit. President Putin yesterday hosted the EU leaders for dinner ahead of the talks at a lavish estate on the outskirts of the city. A former president of Mongolia, Namba Enkbaya, has accused the authorities in his country of waging a politically motivated legal campaign against him. Mr. Enkbaya was arrested in April and is due to stand trial today on charges of corruption and misusing of property and government power. He says the authorities want to stop him from contesting a parliamentary election on the 28th of this month. The legal proceedings are threatening to overshadow the election. Mongolia has previously been praised in the West for its transition to democracy. Football. Ghana and Sudan are now joint leaders in Group D in the qualifiers of the 2014 FIFA World Cup after opening day matches. The Black Stars lead by a better goal difference after hammering Lesotho 7-0 on Friday at the Bayara Sports Stadium. Sudan, on the other hand, defeated current African champions Chipolopolo of Zambia 2-0 at home to join the Black Stars at the top. Ghana travels to Ndola to lock horns with Zambia on Saturday, June 9, while the Sudanese will be the guest of Lesotho in Maseru. Meanwhile, Edea's 24th-minute strike for the Black Stars in their 7-0 thrashing of Lesotho was Ghana's 100th goal, according to FIFA statistics. The Stars before the game were 2 goals away from the mark, but skipper Suleiman Tari's opening goal pushed Ghana closer before Edea sealed it. Ghana has now surpassed the 100th goal mark by an extra 5, all recorded in the same match against Lesotho. So then is the main point again. Former President Jerry John Rawlings has waded into the debate over the NDC logo by stating that it was his wife, Nana Kunidwajimai Rawlings, who suggested the Akatamanso as a symbol for the party. Residents of Myong in the newly created district of the Northern Region have demonstrated against the sighting of the district capital at Sang. They want the capital in Myong and not Sang. About 1,500 pastors of Assemblies of God churches across the country are meeting in Kumasi to pray for national peace and unity. Ghana will welcome a Royal Navy destroyer known as HMS Dauntless from tomorrow to the 13th of this month as it makes a tour of the region. And Nigeria has declared 3 days of national mourning following plane crash that killed over 150 people on board just a day after Ghana experienced a similar disaster. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.